The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our lives today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's good to have Sammy back and his mom and David. Welcome. For those of you that don't know, Sammy has autism, and he may have some noise, some sounds that are okay. That's just Sammy, okay? So welcome. We're glad to have you all here today. Today, I will be using technology because technology failed me with the printer, so bear with me. When I was in seminary attending a local congregation, the pastor had a picture of an icon in his office. It was an icon used by the Eastern Orthodox Church to depict the Holy Trinity. Rather than using Western images of an old king, the cross at Calvary, and the dove to depict the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Eastern Orthodox Church uses an icon to depict the Holy Trinity. It is a picture of three angels being hosted by Abraham and Sarah at Mamre, from Genesis 18, 1 through 15. At that time, they came, these visitors, and proclaimed that Abraham and Sarah would have a son despite their old age. The three angels are sitting around a table with a chalice holding the Lamb of God. The icon draws the viewer right up to the table, inviting the viewer to join them in fellowship. This image at the time was a new way to see God for me. It was not as I had imagined God to be or look like, and I even shared that with the pastor. Yet after years of study and the Holy Spirit working on my heart, I can imagine now this image of the Trinity inviting us to the table at Holy Communion. Every Sunday, inviting us to come empty-handed as sinners, and after receiving the body and blood of our Lord and Savior in with and under the bread and the wine, sending us out into the world as beloved, forgiven sinners, sustained and renewed by Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, to go out and share God's love and mercy and grace with the world. This image of the Trinity invites us to join in the fellowship with the divine Trinity, who was in the beginning, is with us now, and will come again at the end of the age. As Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure and their mission after he would depart during the farewell discourse described in John's Gospel, he offered them not so much a doctrinal explanation of what the Holy Trinity is, rather how the divine Trinity operates to remind us of God's love, mercy, grace, and purpose in our lives. We are not alone in our limited understanding of God. The disciples who had been with him for 3 years had difficulty determining what was going on and what was going to happen to their Lord on account of their, in the religious authorities, self-preservation. Jesus, however, was fully aware of what would happen soon. John chapter 13, verse 1 states, Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart this world and go to the Father. He knew he faced betrayal, denial, and abandonment from his followers, and excruciating pain during a humiliating death on the cross that was reserved for the most hardened of criminals, which he was not. The disciples did not have great understanding of what Jesus was sharing with them throughout their time with him, nor did they understand fully his farewell discourse with him at the Last Supper before he would be arrested and take up his cross and die an excruciating death. While the disciples did not have great understanding then, we often have limited understanding now. Jesus goes through with his mission to save the world through the cross, through his redeeming grace, not because he is a masochist, nor because this is a sacrifice that God requires in order to forgive us. Reverend Dr. Hermanson writes, "He goes forward with this to reveal the glory of God, the honor of God, the loyalty of God, to make known the power of God's love, which rises above all hurts and injustice, all darkness and brokenness, and exposes the weakness and futility of violence, disloyalty, self-preservation, fear, death, etc., etc. Though Jesus is going away, he promises to continue to abide within his followers through the Holy Spirit, whom he promised to send them, and whom all of us who were baptized have received in baptism. He calls for his followers to trust and follow him, loving and serving our neighbor, offering grace as he offers us grace on the cross, offers grace in baptism, in absolution after our confession, both corporate and individual confession, and in Holy Communion, and through him and those who we have offended, and whom we apologize to, and from whom we receive grace. He wants us to take comfort that though he has gone to be with God the Father in heaven, we are not alone. But the Holy Spirit abides within us to strengthen our faith and share the good news that God's grace is sufficient. And we are sent from the table where we are invited in fellowship with the Holy Trinity to be forgiven and to go out and share the good news with others through word and deed, that they too are forgiven and that God loves them as God loves us. And God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Thanks be to God. Amen.